I'll just go ahead and let you know the title now, since I went out and kind of picked a fresh one that wasn't so readily seen. But most of you see this. This is called a leaf, right? And it's really a new one, right? So what if I do this? Now you know the title of my sermon. There you go. Remember that. This is one of those things that's very difficult to do. I don't think I've spoken on this topic yet. But it scares me looking around, not only in this this great nation that we've lived in for so many years. I've mentioned throughout my life, I don't want to ever forget this, I guess, but whenever I've opened a refrigerator, there's been food inside. Whenever I've turned on a faucet, there's been water. I've never in my life lacked. Maybe some of the older ones here have, or maybe some of you that have fallen upon some difficult times were like the Mother Hubbards, were not knowing, you know, where the next meal was going to come from, but God always intervened. Now I see that God's blessed this country so much in the past years that it's scary to look around and see the kind of shape that we're in. Not just there, but my perception also, maybe yours too, maybe perception even of ourselves. So this is one of the, not one of those I'm coming down after the brethren. There used to be scary stories sometimes that a minister would come visit and look into your cupboards to see what you were eating or something of that nature. We don't do that, but on the other hand, sometimes there's cause to take a look at, here are God's people that have been observing the food laws, the dietary laws for so long, and yet, why are we so sick? What's going on? So I did a little bit of research here. Now, if you remember Hosea chapter 4:6, this is the spiritual element, but I believe there's a physical element that's involved with this too. If you remember Hosea 4:6, my people are destroyed, why? Most of us remember that scripture, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. That obviously has spiritual as well as physical applications. And you know, for years, you know, even going back to the time where my family was called into the church, I've got some pretty interesting memories. Not only did we forsake the eating of unclean food, which we didn't know about in our family, in our lives for so long, I can't say that that was really a difficult one. When you find out what the truth is and you see something is not good for you, it seems to be that that's kind of an easy change. You know, some people will say sometimes, well, I miss the smell of this or the smell of that or the look of this or the taste of that. But I think there are plenty tasty things that are good that we can eat. So I remember some of our change, at least remembering what my mom went through. You know, we used to do the Wonder Bread. And I still look back and remember that. I would bite into my Wonder Bread ham sandwich. And I remember it would stick to the roof of my mouth. And then you find a little bit more, you learn a little bit more, because really everybody thought at that time, well, white represents purity, right? You know, white sugar, white bread, everything that's white must be good. And then you look at the processing, you research it over the years. So my mom's next step was going from Wonder Bread to Roman meal. Roman meal basically was Wonder Bread with a brown crayon dipped in it. So, and then you go, you start looking and searching, and then you might go to something else, maybe something called like maybe an Ezekiel bread. Maybe some of you eat that, which is, according to what the ingredients, would be fine. But some would say, well, that's like Ellie Mae Clampett biscuits. It'll like sink to the bottom of the pool if you put it in there. So we found over the years that there are some that found out. I know my mother-in-law for years has been able to make her own bread, and it's very tasty and it's very fluffy. So, but it's been a progression of different things. Sometimes I wonder, though, if we've given up a little bit because it's that difficult, and it is. It really is that difficult. Where is the balance? How do we find something nutritious that tastes good? And yet, once again, I think as we look around, we could probably do it as self-evaluation and go, you know, we're probably not as a church in the best of shape. And we still have some work to do. I just like to do a reminder today of what God would expect, and I don't want to stop trying. So sometimes, again, we need to plod. We need to take a look at this because we're striving. We're trying. We've got a notebook back there that's filled with a lot of different articles on In fact, I'd like to go a little bit further in one sense of not getting so particular, but some frustrations are, well, I see that that's bad for you. Where can I find something that's good? And maybe we can work together on finding locations or supplements or something different where you can replace something bad with something that's really good. So once again, as I grew up, as a child, I was a huge candy freak. You know, my grandpa would say, they would quote me, "I want a piece of candy. I want a piece of candy." They would always, I was the candy hunter. If she would hide it in her house, I would find it. That would be my challenge. I would find out where the candy was, and I just pour that stuff down. How I survived that as a child, I think our youthful bodies can really take a beating. But if you continue that process, I think over time it can start to wear your bodies down and degenerate it so much to where it's difficult to overcome. I think a lot of us may be fighting that, not just the genetic aspect, but also what we've done to our bodies for so many years. So just a reflection today on turning over a new leaf. You can do it. Because if we can't do it, if we can't do it physically, how can we do it spiritually? If we can't look and go, you know, I really need to change that, then how can we do something that's even more difficult when there are spiritual aspects in our life that we have to overcome as well? And this is back in 1971 because of a certain booklet I'll tell you that I took a look at. But in 1971, there were 339,000 cancer deaths and 900,000 who were undergoing treatment. Now, this is just cancer, by the way. In 2016, there were 1.7 million new cancer cases diagnosed. 595 cancer deaths in the U.S. That's 1,630 that are dying of cancer every day. 1,630. Oh, but we live in this great society that's got so much knowledge, right? What's going on? If people talk about there's a longevity is longer now, the age that people live. I'm going, but what kind of living are they doing? Because I know so many times I've gone to the hospitals or clinics and they're packed. They're filled with people that are coming with all kinds of sicknesses and diseases. Should this be among God's people? You know, can we take a look at ourselves and what can we do to change the surrounding? Again, it's a very personal thing. So there are laws in motion to govern the body and what God has made. And sometimes when we might get sick or have different sicknesses, it's time for us to take a look and maybe see a little bit of what we can do better. In 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Again, I know this is also, it's a learning process. I don't personally want to stop myself, either when it comes to the spiritual applications of God's law. I don't think there's any time to ever stop, or even physical applications, because over the years, I've become more of a label reader, and I still, my guard goes up sometimes. I just look at a can of soup, and I cannot remember if I called these people or not, but all the ingredients seemed to be real good. But under one, it says natural flavorings. And I remember the story about the cat poop brownies. You know, what is it? There's just a little bit in there as the person dried the cat poop and then, you know, made it within their brownie mix, and they offered it, and it looked really good. They go, by the way, it's just got tiny bit, just a small smidgen. Who would really eat that? You know, so here, if you've got something, it says natural flavors, and I'm kind of going, what could be the natural flavors? There's a lot of natural things. Cat poop is natural. So I want to find out what the natural flavorings are, because isn't that misleading? I mean, there's a lot of things that are totally misleading in this world that we live in today, and people using the small print and other things to kind of get away with things until you read that small print. Say, that's really interesting. That changes my whole outlook on it. So, you know, we take a look at these things, and one of those where it says natural flavoring said it could be porcupine, not porcupine, but, well, probably could be porcupine. porcupine or bovine, either one. It could be either one. So I'm going, well, I'm kind of rolling the dice in, on this then. You know, because there are so many different varieties, I said, I'm just going to just let that one pass then. And I'll look for something that I do know, at least to the best of my ability. And sometimes that's all we can do is you go out to restaurants. We don't know sometimes. You know, that's all you can do, the best that you can do. But I know for years, and some that maybe have been embarrassed about this, we choose just to not be embarrassed about it. If we go to a Mexican restaurant, for all practical purposes, I want to know if this has lard in it, if these beans are made. That's a simple question. So sometimes if they say yes, sometimes they don't know what lard means. That's another difficulty there. So, and again, it's always a challenge, as many of us have gone through. But I think, again, to take a closer look at this, we need to take a look, as I had mentioned last time, when we went through God's healing, God is so merciful. And there's a way that we go about the process of asking for the elders for anointing when we're sick. My question comes up sometimes is when we come up to ask for healing, and we should, when you're sick, that's what the Bible says, and that belief is there. But maybe there should be a look taken in the mirror from ourselves personally, because it is such a personal thing. I'm going, maybe I need to see what I might be doing wrong to my body and maybe change that instead of going along a process to constantly getting sicker. Maybe there's something I can do a little bit more healthy for my body. And it becomes one of those things that's never ending, no matter what age you're at. This kind of process, it just never stops. In 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19, do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, which is in you, whom you have from God, and you are not your own? For you were bought at a price, therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, both in your body and in your spirit, which belongs to God. So we do the best that we can on taking this temporary vessel that God has given to us and taking care of it, doing the best that we can do to take care of it. Back when you go to Exodus chapter 15, let's go back to Exodus chapter 15 and verse 22. A reminder again, you know, Egypt was probably the capital of unclean at that time. They sure worshipped everything, didn't they? So, I mean, there are some countries today, such as India, which worship the cow, but they don't eat it. They don't touch it, which is so interesting, isn't it? So no steaks in India. So that's just the way it is. But I'm sure there are so many that eat everything. And I know when our transfer back in the mid-90s back to Baton Rouge, Louisiana, that's one place that we found they basically eat whatever crawls down there. Thankfully, not God's people. They know how to make things clean. But anything that crawls, you would marvel at when they can put some kind of Tabasco or something that makes it taste a certain way, and you could eat everything. But that was the way it was up in Michigan where I grew up as well. So there was something that was a specialty. It was called surf and turf. And normally you would have that at a special time because it was rather expensive. They've got them, you know, all over the place now, but this would be a steak and a lobster tail. Now, a lobster tail, it's got the white meat, doesn't it? And it can be very fluffy. And one point that I can make is if you put drawn butter on about anything, you can make it taste good. So that basically was a lobster tail. And so that was eaten up there. We didn't eat the crawfish, which was actually my bait for fish. That's what I noticed down there. They had heaping plates of the crawfish, and I looked at it, I'm going, that's my bait, and they're eating it. And so, you know, we know those basics, we do, but there's so many, I believe, that we're falling short in as well. Exodus 15, verse 22, so Moses brought Israel from the Red Sea. They went out to the wilderness of Shur, and they went 3 days in the wilderness and found no water. And when they came to Marah, they could not drink of the waters of Marah, for they were bitter. Therefore, the name was called Marah, bitter waters. And so the people murmured against Moses, saying, well, what do we drink? And he cried to God, and the Lord showed him a tree, which when he had cast into the waters, and the waters were made sweet, there he made for them a statute and an ordinance. This was a statute and a judgment, and he proved them. He used this time to prove them. He says, if you will diligently listen to the voice of the Lord your God and will do that which is right in his sight and give ear to his commandments and keep all of his statutes, I will put none of these diseases upon you, which I have brought upon the Egyptians, for I am the Lord who heals you. So from the very beginning, healing has been a matter of obedience and faith. It's been a matter of obedience and of faith. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 20. And again, for most that have been associated with the Church of God for many years now, we've gone through a process when it comes to health that I believe we've got a pretty good balance in the teaching, in the teaching of it right now. Because it used to be, as you remember, doctors were considered evil, that you wouldn't go to them, that it was a sin to go to a doctor, then it became a sin that if you didn't go to a doctor. So there's been this whole pendulum type swinging. Once again, this is a very, very personal issue between you and God on what you do, but it's also a personal issue between you and God specifically on what we do. I can just say this is what the scripture says when you're sick. What you choose to do after that, whether it's setting bones, anything else that you do, comes up to grabbing onto knowledge and finding out what's going on and what it is. I'm surprised, I have been surprised in many years when I've gone to visit some brethren in the hospital and I would see something that they would be giving intravenously and I would say, oh, what are they giving to you? And they would say, well, I don't know. And I'm going, you're kidding me. You're kidding me. You have no idea what they're putting into you. You're just accepting. No, that's the wrong thing to do. Now, it's nice when some people have help or family members that can talk and get through this, but even when you look at medicine, what other doctors say and getting second opinions and other things, there is so much hurt and frankly dying that's done in the hospital because of the medical industry. So we can do our research on that as well. So sometimes I wonder if there's more faith that's needed when somebody does go in to see a doctor because of the bad things that they can do. Well, they can do good things as well, too. Fascinating things on what they can do to help, whether it's cataracts or other things. Great things have been done. But again, this is something to take a look at ourselves and say, where is our heart when it comes to healing and health before God? Proverbs 4, verse 20 says, my son, attend to my words, incline your ear to my sayings. Let them not depart from my eyes, keep them in the midst of their hearts, for they are life to those that find them and health to their flesh. God does want us to live healthy lives, and there is a process. You know, there was once a man that was in such bad shape. I've read a couple of these testimonies actually in books of someone that just could not find any kind of success when it came to the medical industry. There was just no answers, and this person was specifically just going down. And says, well, when no medical procedures could help, this individual turned to God. He said, I saw very clearly that there were four specific directions for taking God's word as medicine for the physical body. These are the directions, he said, I saw very clearly that there were four specific directions for taking God's word as medicine for the physical body. Here are the directions. One, again, it has to do with this proverb here. One, attend to my words. Read God's instruction. Read God's instruction. Well, you might say, well, it doesn't say specifically this. Well, what does God's word say then? Seek multitude of counsel. Ask for wisdom. Ask him to show what to do. But God's got to be the main part of it. Our trust has to be fully into God. Point two, it says, incline your ears to my saying. Listen closely to what I'm saying. Number three was, let them not depart from your eyes. And number four, keep them in the midst of your heart. There's something, again, about what we read and what we take in to our bodies that can make such a difference. And I caution people today because this world is so influenced by Satan that what you listen to and what you watch can affect your physical bodies and your physical minds. It's that dangerous sometimes. This person said, I began to read the Bible three times every day after meals because that is how people normally take medicine. I said, God, you have said that these words of yours will be medicine to all my flesh, and I am taking them as my medicine now in the name of Jesus. Within a few months, God's medicine taken that way achieved the result God promised. I was totally healthy in every area of my body. Now, I can't explain that, only that this person did turn to God. It doesn't seem like somebody who was a member, per se, of God's church. But he saw something valuable in the Word of God that maybe changed his entire mentality. And maybe the electronics or whatever God put in our body was, all of a sudden things changed. And things were happening to his physical body that were changing his entire life around. That can happen to us as well. Romans chapter 10 and verse 14. Romans 10 verse 14. This is the teaching that's been come out for years, and just my perception on it, what I've heard from some is, oh yeah, we always used to teach that, no, this sugar, and no, don't, this whole wheat flour and all this. And it, my perception, again, and maybe you all didn't do that, just tank the whole thing, but it would seem like we are on learning about laws of health. But maybe because it was so difficult that people just said, it's too easy to go out to McDonald's, or it's too easy to, I'm too busy, so therefore, this is what I do. And there's other answers for that. It's so interesting what can happen from the different examples that you can try within your life. I'll give you some personal ones myself. I know I had talked to Mr. Trabig a couple of years ago now, and I noticed he had really slimmed down. I said, what happened? He goes, I cut out carbs. And I said, that's it? You just cut out your carbs? And that was it? He goes, pretty much. So, I thought about that for some time, because I didn't like where my weight was at. And so after a couple of years, I said, I think I'm going to try that. So when I would go out and travel, instead of what would be the temptation, maybe I'm kind of justifying the McDonald's filet of fish because it's fish. Hey, fish is good for you, right? Well, I thought about this, okay, white bun and deep fried, whatever it was. Both not good for you. I'm going, boy, I'm justifying over a fish and really eating a piece that's really not good for me, but it tastes so good with that piece of cheese and the tartar sauce, which is probably no good for you either, and then processed cheese. I'm kind of going, look at this. And again, the body can probably handle that once in a while, but if that's the pattern of what our diet is throughout the day or throughout the week or throughout the month or the year, then you can count on yourself that your body's going to start yelling out for help and probably getting sick. So I changed that. And I went for the delicious food that my wife provided for me. Almonds and nuts. I started going nuts. You are what you eat. And that's what I would have. Who would ever think, well, that doesn't really taste good? Well, frankly, it wasn't that bad. And I did find myself, actually, my appetite started going down. I wasn't craving other things, and then eventually I started not wanting those other things. And it's so interesting. I thought maybe I was due for a 5-pound loss or 8-pound loss, 17 pounds, just cutting out carbs myself. So that was my attempt. Of course, then we went to France. What does France have? Cheese and white bread. So caught up a little bit with the 5 pounds, but I'm sharing what I've gone through and what I have to take a look at as well. All these elements, all of us have got to take a look at. But I'm telling you what, it's worth trying, because I've seen the fruits that have been borne by changing one's lifestyle. You'll feel a lot better, especially if God's in the process. Romans 10 verse 14, how will they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how will they believe in whom they have not heard? How will they hear without a preacher? How will they preach except they be sent? It is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. But they have not obeyed the gospel, for Isaiah said, Lord, who has believed our report? So then faith comes through hearing, and hearing through the word of God. But I say, have they not heard? Yes, verily, their sound, the sound of the preachers, went to all the earth, and their words to the ends of the world. But I say, did not Israel know? First Moses said, I'll provoke you to jealousy, but then there are no people, and by a foolish nation I will anger you. So we have specific instructions that are given throughout the scriptures. Here it says in verse 20, Isaiah is very bold, and it said, I was found of them that sought me not, I was made manifest unto them that asked not after me. But to Israel he said, all day long I have stretched forth my hands to a disobedient and gainsaying a disputing and doubting and murmuring people. That's the constant example that you get from Israel. And again, you can see the outcome spiritually and physically. Spiritually and physically, what happened to them. Now, Mark chapter 5, verse 25, let's see an example here. An incredible example that was given here. And again, it's of specifically of God's healing that there were physicians that were being addressed at this time. But in Mark 5, verse 25, it says, there's a certain woman who had an issue of blood for 12 years. And this 12 years, by the way, 12 years. Some here may have experienced, you know, suffering or this kind of thing for a long time. Again, it's a question to come up. I don't believe that God wants us to live this way. It's a very personal thing again. We'd have to ask ourselves, what can we do? There's more than sometimes just searching out a specific vitamin or even herbs. There's a lost art in that, I believe, that will come back during the millennium, that God has provided the plants and other things for our healing. We've gone to other ways that have not done good things, especially for God's people. It says in verse 26, she suffered many things of the many physicians. She suffered many things of many physicians and spent all that she had and was nothing better, but rather grew worse. This is happening in this day and age too. Once again, I don't have the answers on all this, only for us to take a look at ourselves personally and say, what can I do to change? When she heard of Jesus, she came in the press behind and touched his garment. She said, if I just touch his clothes, I'll be made whole. And straightaway the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt that she was healed of that plague. And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that power had gone out of him, turned himself in the crowd and said, who touched my clothes? And his disciples say, well, you see everyone around you, and you ask, who touched me? And he looked around for to see who had done this thing, but the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing that was done to her, came and fell down before him and told him all the truth. And he said, daughter, your faith has made you whole. Go in peace and be whole of your plague. You know, it's so interesting when it comes to physicians. I was down to, after the feast one year, asked to go down to Alabama, and I anointed a woman that had a problem with a defective heart valve. And she was taken there in emergency, and it was a very serious condition to where she had to get a heart valve replaced. And it was so encouraging to be able to talk to the doctor as he came out. He goes, you know, I can only fix the problem, but it's God is the one who heals. You know, I marvel at that sometimes because I'm going, if I ever had to see a doctor, that's the one that I would want to go to, that they realize God is the one that heals. I may have to set your bone. I may have to fix another area. But when you give the glory to God as the one who made the human body, and sometimes even genetically or whatever happens to us, sometimes there can be things that go wrong that can be fixed. You know, I'm thinking specifically even of cataracts and other things that I've seen what laser surgery has done. I've not had to look into that, so I don't know all the details of that to see if there have been bad things. I've seen a lot of good things about that. And again, it would depend on even who you might go to. But here it talks about certain doctors having faith in faith. It says, a survey conducted by the American Academy of Family Physicians shows that 99% of doctors believe a relationship exists between faith and physical healing. Recently, more than 1,000 healthcare professionals met at Harvard Medical School to examine the connection between spirituality and healing. Doctors' faith in faith was bolstered by a California study of the effects of prayer on recovery from heart problems. About 200 patients were assigned to Christians who prayed for them, while an equal number, a control group, received no known prayers. Neither group knew about the prayers, yet those who received prayer developed half the complications that were experienced by those in the control group. A similar study by the Dartmouth Medical School examined the effects of prayer on healing when the patients prayed for themselves. The death rate 6 months after bypass surgery was 9% for the general population, but 5% for those who prayed for their own healing. And none of the deeply religious patients died during the period of study. This is from quoted Religion in the News, Sign of the Times, March 1997. So again, when you get someone that actually understands that God is the one that heals, you can go to an example such as 2 Chronicles chapter 16. Let's go over here really quickly and see what the problem was. This was a king, and frankly, this was one of the very few kings that you would have. 2 Chronicles chapter 16, it says here, "And Asa, in the 39th year of his reign, was diseased in his feet, until his disease was exceeding great. Yet in his disease he sought not to the Lord, but to the physicians." Well, what was the problem with this? Well, it says Asa slept with his fathers and died in the 140th year of his reign. Once again, there was a problem with his trust in God. As I had mentioned before, our first thought would be for the one who made us, who created us. Sometimes when I've anointed someone, you may not even know totally what the problem is. I pray, God, you know. You know every hair on our head. So please help us. Please intervene for us, and knowing that he heals. And then also along with that, I hope that there's the knowledge of us looking in the mirror going, what is it that we might need to change in our lives as well? God provides a way of thinking in order for us to develop a harmonious relationship of faith and obedience, that the sacrifice of Jesus Christ will be a complete sacrifice, one that acknowledges our spiritual healing as well as our physical. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5, this would always come first to the God that we serve. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will direct your paths." Not just when things get really bad, but all of the time, every day. Show me, God, where I need to change my life. Help me with this if we've got questions and don't know the answers. I'm watching now all the organics that come out. This is organic and that's organic. And I don't know if we totally understand that. I've seen what's called cage-free eggs, and then I've seen the size of the area that they can roam, maybe the corner of this little pen. They're going to call that cage-free. Free-roaming chickens that have maybe a 4x4 spot where they can roam. That's not cage-free to me. But that's what this world will teach. So we just have to keep searching, and we have to keep looking. And some of you have looked. We looked for years. You know, my family grew up on raw milk. We had to drive an hour to get it all the time. It was so interesting. Maybe God's got a sense of humor here? Because when we lived in New Jersey, we used to drive an hour to Middletown, New York. And because there was a law against selling to the public, we would donate to their feed. And they'd give us free milk. That's how we loopholed that. So then after getting the raw milk there, we moved to Indianapolis, Indiana. We found a place in Middletown, Indiana that was about an hour away that we paid for the feed and they would give us free milk. Well, then we moved down to northern Kentucky. There was a place in Middletown, Ohio that sold milk about an hour away. It was called Melvin's Cow Palace. He was still under the grandfather clause, and when I'd go there, I'd get 30 gallons of milk because all the brethren in the church wanted milk too. So I would travel an hour. I'm going, what is it with Middletown? So I thought maybe I should start looking for Middletowns around here. I'd find milk. But again, it was a work in progress that we wanted to give our children something that we knew was wholesome and good and not refined and didn't have all the junk poured out of it. And some people would go, well, that all that stuff in that milk is so fattening while they're eating their Doritos. Wait a second here. You know, again, our bodies that I realized can be so degenerate that now we have good things that you may be allergic to. So there's the struggle. What I'm trying to tell you today is don't give up. Don't give it up. Because we're not giving up spiritually either. Don't give up. God will eventually provide this planet a total turning over of a new leaf. And I look forward to that time because we won't be polluting the soil anymore. God's land rest. You kind of go, well, if you're a first fruit, what difference does it make? We're spiritual beings. Well, we're going to be teaching the physical beings that are left on this earth that will be eating physical food. And I have an idea anyway that we'll be eating physical food along with them. Now, I tried to paint that picture of the millennium. Could you imagine walking when the cities are rebuilt and you're walking down a street one day, maybe with somebody, you walk by a bakery and just, oh, that smells so good. And you go in there and you can actually have something that actually not only tastes good, but it's really good for you too. Imagine those times, the odors and aromas that will still be there, but people will be taught the right way to live. No more processing. No more of all the junk anymore that we've got to keep searching for and looking through. Well, we have to trust in God with this now and make changes in our life as well. Matthew chapter 6, and then I'd like to go through some points here and see if you remember any of these, by the way. Matthew chapter 6, verse 30. See, our faith has got to increase, not decrease, in our relationship with God. And this could have physical points to it as well. Matthew chapter 6, verse 30. Where if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore, don't take thought of what will we eat or what will we drink or wherewith will we be clothed. Did you ever? Sure, most here probably had those thoughts sometimes. How are we going to do this? Those that have fallen upon troubled times at one time or another. I remember thinking about that in my family. I just didn't want to be under some interstate overpass living out of my car. It's not easy, but then God says, well, you know, owe you a little faith, showing me that it's got to be increased so I don't worry. He said he would always provide and take care of us. He said in verse 32, for after all these things do the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knows that you have need of all these things. But if you seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, all these things will be added to you. Those are the very words of the one known as Yahweh Rapha, the healer of Israel, and our healer today. Do we believe in him? So we've had to take a look at this, and some years ago, I imagine there have been different renditions, but something that had to do with good health or radiant health, if maybe some of you still have that booklet. So if you do, and it's in your reservoir of church booklets somewhere, let me ask you, there were 7 points, at least in quite a few of these booklets, maybe rewritten. It was called the 7 Laws of Radiant or Abundant Health, if you remember. How many of those do you remember? I'd like to see, I won't look, to see if you remember any of those. See if you could write down any of those 7. Do you remember those? Now, with data, I don't think you'll remember all 7 of them. Maybe you could, but I'd have to ask the question, could I do it too? I've got them right before me now. But this is important that we actually look through this and address some of these. So I was going to just go ahead and play the Jeopardy song. But if you remember any of those, go ahead and write them down and see if we'll get to those. But here's number 1 on the list. Number 1 on the list is food and fasting, obviously. What we take in is so important to our bodies. We're probably not getting the right amounts of different things because of our soil being depleted. We're getting a double whammy, if you want to call it that way. We're getting a double whammy because we're getting processed foods that have had things added. You know, it's almost like by the end of our lives, we're already preserved. When you think about all the stuff and the nitrates and all these things that you look that are put into food that are bad, and then what we put in our soil is the double whammy. So the food's not getting the proper nutrition. We're dealing with now genetics and modifications in the food that's producing things. Why are we as God's people having so many allergies? Why can't we eat things that are even good for us? Great question. Great question, and it begs an answer, and looking into it, to the best of our ability at least, to find out what it is. Food and fasting, you know, there's, at least this is what I've gotten, there's nothing in the Bible that says this, but over all the research that's been done, it says that we should probably be drinking about 6 to 8 glasses of water or more per day? Do we take enough water? And because the water flushes our system, it helps to get rid of the bad things that our body is already trying to get rid of. I think what happens is we keep taking more things in that our body can reject, and that's why sickness comes upon us. Well, here's where fasting can help, and there's a lot of articles on this. This is called Fasting, Health Benefits, written by Mr. Whiteman, July 27th, 2015. In recent years, numerous studies have suggested that intermittent fasting, abstaining or reducing food and drink intake periodically, can be good for us, making it one of the most popular diet trends worldwide. Studies of intermittent fasting show that not only do people see improvement in blood pressure, cholesterol levels, but also in their insulin sensitivity. In June 2014, for example, Medical News Today reported on a study suggesting periodic fasting, defined as the study of one day. This is actually water-only fasting, that this is a benefit as well, may reduce the risk of diabetes among people at the high risk for the condition. Another study conducted by colleagues from the University of Southern California, Los Angeles, found longer periods of fasting, such as 2 to 4 days, may even reboot the immune system, clearing out old immune cells and regenerating new ones, a process they say could protect against cell damage caused by factors such as aging and chemotherapy. Since the body is unable to get its energy, this is the way it's designed to work. It's unable to get its energy from food during fasting. It dips into glucose that's stored in the liver and muscles. This begins around 8 hours after the last meal is consumed. When the stored glucose has been used up, the body then begins to burn fat as a source of energy, which can result in weight loss. Dr. Maruf of the University of Oxford in UK explains that the use of fat for energy can help preserve muscle and reduce cholesterol levels. A detoxification process also occurs because any toxins stored in the body's fat are dissolved and removed from the body, he adds, noting that after a few days of fasting, higher levels of endorphins, the feel-good hormones, are produced in the blood, which can have a positive impact on mental well-being. As mentioned previously, the study by Dr. Longo and the colleagues suggested prolonged fasting may be also effective for regenerating immune cells. When you starve, the system tries to save energy, and one of the things it can do to save energy is to recycle a lot of the immune cells that are not needed, especially those that might be damaged. And then what happens? The water flushes them out. Perfect, the way that God designed it to be. We just have been so overwhelmed. And you and I know, here we are, a people that do fast, hopefully more than just the Day of Atonement, because if we realize that it's good for us, then even it says, by the way, a good water fast, you know, to find the purity of the water. And that's even difficult, isn't it? Because sometimes we'll go after bottled water. I'm kind of going, oh, is that really good in the plastic? I'm not totally sure of that, but that's all you can do. What I'm saying is it adds up, doesn't it? All these little things can add up sometimes. So it behooves us to do the best that we can do. Sometimes, again, when we fast, I notice this within my blood levels or blood sugar. There'll be a time in a 24-hour fast where all of a sudden I just get so tired. I get so exhausted. Something is going on within the system. To show, you know, if you got to the point, if we all did, to where we fasted, we should be actually feeling pretty good all day. If our body's health was up that good, we all should probably be able to do a good 3-day fast even. I've known an extended fast for people that did this for a long time. You probably heard the one where somebody had tried some maple syrup and cayenne and water or whatever that gave them the energy, and they've done 30-day fasts and found out that there are certain points within that fast that all of a sudden their body would feel horrible because it's just now getting those toxins and going into the fat and getting all those toxins out. But after that, there's this period of rejuvenation again. But as they continue to that fast, the body goes deeper within those fat cells, gets some more out. All that's been built out for so many times. Some of you may think, that just sounds too much for me. Well, you can do the best that you can do. Maybe fast more often. Try the best that you can do on taking care of your body, fasting a little bit more, and eating the right things. Not, you know, here today we have, as was just at a funeral last week, very sad to see some of the mentality, because there were people that were not in very good shape at all, and the first thing they said, let's hit the Dairy Queen. I'm kind of going, oh, no, not the Dairy Queen. Or how about Ryan's or Golden Corral, because you can just fill it up with all the food and just pile it on there. And it's so sad to see the state of what we're going through today. It's a battle for us. It's easy to see a lot of unhealthy people out there, but then I've got to ask myself, what about this? What am I doing? What am I eating? What am I taking into my body? Food and fasting. The second is cleanliness and dress. Cleanliness and even the way that we dress and what we wear. Anywhere from, frankly, studies into shoes. We might have some shoes on that, frankly, might not be good for us. It's putting our backs out. I love this one on the way that mankind has really messed the woman up. Sad to say that some women buy these very expensive shoes that have maybe a heel the size of the tip on this little microphone. I go, how do you walk on those? For one thing, well, it supposedly makes the calves look nicer. I go, I'll take my wife's calves anytime, and not those shoes. Because if you know that they're bad for you, and they're bad for your back, then why do we wear them? So for men, maybe it's the wallet in the back pocket. Research is done. You sit on that back pocket, it throws your back out. Well, what's the answer? I've got two front pockets, so I just put it in the front pocket. Why not figure it out? Because I'm not going to do purses. No purses. I'm not gravitating to that direction. But there's a way that you can fix it. There's a way that you can, once you find out that something's not good, then why do we go there? It doesn't make sense. See, the same is the spiritual application as well. To make sure that we're clean. I was thankful to grow up in, or even in the United States where we've got running water that has reduced a lot of diseases and people washing cans and staying clean. I know once a week, Wednesday was it for us. That was bed changing day. The sheets were changed once a week. So my folks taught about cleanliness. And sometimes others need to be taught that as well. They don't understand. They, when you pile things in there and leave them for a while and they're wet, they're going to get moldy and mildewy. There have been people sometimes we've, you know, brought your face in a towel and go, whoa, it's just so much mildew. Just not aired and cleaned appropriately. That can make a big effect on the body. So that's the second point is cleanliness and dress. The third, sunshine and fresh air. It is so great to see when that sun comes out. But, you know, there's a balance there too. You can have what's called the sun worshippers. And they go out on the beach and they go, hey, I'm white, I want to be dark brown. That's really sad too, because that's obviously too much. And later on they find out, and again, there's studies that have been shown about the machines that people can go in that doesn't sound really natural to me. All the effects I've seen have not really been good ones. But you know, if you go out and get some sunshine, for the ladies, that's free vitamin, well, for the men too. But it seems to be the ladies that have the need for more vitamin D, because the way the hormones work. But to get out and take a nice walk, take some deep breaths of fresh air in. Have you noticed going through your life, you're taking short breaths a lot? Not even stopping to go, let me take in some breath of fresh air here. You know, and really just, wow, what it does physically to the body is amazing. Free vitamin D, but we ought to do this really on a regular basis because sometimes it gets so overcast, which is so frustrating. You know what can happen? You get a week of overcast, you just end up not being so happy. There's a physical effect on that as well. It's great to see that sunshine come out in the fresh air, and especially around in the Asheville area where there's mountains and places to go where you can take walks. It's so much necessary. Sunshine and fresh air is the third. The fourth, how about exercise? That is so tough. When do we get exercise? How do we get exercise? a challenge for any minister today, because what is our job? We sit and we drive and we sit at a computer. And some of you might have that same problem. It's so difficult to get out there and do that. Who wants, oh yeah, let me stop at a rest area and do a couple laps. You know, when you got to get there, I got to get there. But if we don't stop, if we don't think about this and get exercise, I can say this now, and I'm not pointing the finger at anybody, but my wife finally got me to a health club. So, and it's good to be able to have a feeling where you can go and actually have a scheduled workout but I realize the challenge. Because I know for a while in my life, I wasn't getting enough exercise, and I was feeling it. I would go get my physical. And this was probably about 2 or 3 years ago. And the nurse calls and she goes, the doc wants to see you. I go, I already know why. I know what you're going to say. She goes, what? I go, my cholesterol's too high, right? She goes, how'd you know? I go, because I can feel it. I'm not getting enough exercise. Well, he wants you to take this. Well, I would rather take the other route where I change my life so I don't have to take a statin. But some, again, their bodies get so bad that sometimes that's got to be an alternative, maybe for a short time. As you look into that and you analyze that, what am I supposed to be doing? What kind of change can I make to my life? Am I getting enough exercise and good exercise? Stimulates deep breathing and increases blood circulation and aids in expelling the toxins from the system. That's what happens with exercise. Regular exercise. Find yourself a plan, something that you can do. And by the way, something that you can enjoy, because if you don't enjoy it, you're probably not going to stay on it. Something that, you know, you don't start away, right away with, an hour and a half. I'm going to start hour and a half. How about 10 minutes? How about 5 minutes? And chart it to where I'm doing a little bit more for my body now. You know, again, we know what's so hard about this. I'm pointing this out, and I'm kind of, how many of us are really going to do this? Because it's all your choice. But it's got to be this. You got to actually think about this. You know, if anything's said from the Bible and we found out it to be true, wouldn't you want to change it? Because there have been those changes all along that we've changed from the very beginning when God has instructed and taught us. We've put out bad things and we put on good things. But that doesn't change, and sometimes we backslide. That was Israel's problem. They backslid. Maybe you were doing well for a while. Maybe you were. You were on that health kick, and everything was going good. Then what happened? Well, things just started. Now everything was happening here and happening there. I go, you let life take it over. And when God says put him first, and all of a sudden we found out we're not putting God first, then we had to waste the time because he can take care of the rest of that and put things in order in our lives. So important that we get the regular exercise. The fifth one, sleep and rest. Here's where the problem happens. Sometimes if we don't get enough of the other, our sleep is not too good. If we're getting 2, 3 hours or 5 hours, whatever it is, of broken sleep every night, your body, it's going to take a toll on its body after a while. We've got to make sure we get our rest. And I always thought that the people south of the border have it right. You know, about 1 or 2 when it's really hot in the afternoon. What do you call that? Remember? They call it a siesta. Really good idea. And I remember my grandfather who lived to 98 years old. I think one of the reasons was he went up north to the Upper Peninsula, was known in the 70s as the cleanest, freshest air in the country up there. He had his own garden. Oh, and the soil was so wonderful, so fertile. And so a lot of vegetables. He'd pick raspberries. He'd go out there and work, and he'd cut pulpwood. And the thing that went bad on Grandpa was his ears because of the chainsaw. He didn't wear the earmuffs. It's the only thing that went bad on him. 98 years old he lived to. He was very healthy. But I remember in the afternoon, he would come in, he would sit down, and he'd listen to Paul Harvey. And he'd have one beer. And then they'd have their dinner. And I watched this for a while. I'm going, I don't want life to be like that. I don't want to be that. Well, this is what I do now. And that's exactly what his life came to be. And that's where I want my life to be now. I'd love to be, I sit down, I listen to Paul Harvey, I have one beer. That would be so nice to be able to go through that. And then Grandma would provide the bigger dinner at that time. That'd be the bigger meal. And then he'd give my Grandma 3 kisses, and he'd go take a nap. And after about a half hour, he'd get up and he'd go back out to the woods again. And he'd do a little bit more work. Come on in. They'd have a lighter meal. He'd watch Walter Cronkite. He'd put on his suit. That was his pajamas. And listen to the news and go to bed. I'm kind of going, wow, would I like that now? But, you know, when you see the result of somebody living, and by the way, Grandpa didn't come into the church probably until their 70s. So most of his life, ham, you know, and other things, smoked for a while. Actually got a type of colon cancer back in the 60s, had it removed, stopped smoking, and cancer never hit him again. So not always, people are always blessed by that. Again, there's some genetics within the body when it comes to that type of thing too. But I observed the way that he lived his life. And I said, there's nothing like going out into the woods, by the way. There was definitely advantage of that when you're getting all this peace too as well. And exercise. But sleep and rest are very important. We've got to make sure that we do try the best of our ability to get the rest that our body needs. That is important. So, I mean, we can't just go, well, you know, I'm just not able to do that. Then we go to God and go, God, you know, you see what I'm dealing with. Please help me to get the rest and the peace that I need. Maybe it's something that's weighing on you so much that you can't get it off. There's instruction for that. Did you know that? You can actually have an answer from God when you appeal to Him, that even though the situation may still be there, you can be at peace with it. You can go, guess what? I put all my marbles into one bag here. I'm trusting in God with all my heart, with all my might. I fall short, I sure do. But I'm not going to stop this, because God knows that I need my rest and that we need peace in a world that's filled with turmoil. The sixth is avoiding bodily injury. Avoiding bodily injury. I looked at this one. I went, well, yeah, you know, I'd never intentionally kind of, you know, hit my head with a hammer. So how do you do this? Well, the point is sometimes there's what's called carelessness, right? So many times I wasn't thinking. I've got a lot of I'm not thinking scars, like you probably do. I wasn't thinking. I still remember the time at my grandpa's. I've got a piece of nylon rope. There's my hand, here's the axe. I'm going to cut that rope. And I still have that. I kept my finger, but I still have that scar in memory of that. You know, after I did that, I'm going, that wasn't so wise, was it? That was very careless. Sometimes all of us have probably done very careless things. And you've got the scars to prove it. Sometimes, again, there were accidents, but just being a lot more careful, Not taking the risks. The men will probably do this a little bit more often than the women, but it's one of those things because we just want to get it done and get it finished, so we do things that aren't so wise. I mean, sometimes I can just see it coming. You know, I learned a lot about the cursing element when it came to this. I could see my dad going down in the car and trying to pull that nut, you know, trying to loosen it up, and of course it slips. And then you hit your knuckles, and then the first thing I've seen most people do is they take God's name in vain. And I thought about that, go, why are you cursing God when you're the one that blew it? I really thought about that. I said, say your name, followed by that. I really was thinking about that, because it's just like you're setting yourself up for this. And we've told our kids, be careful, because you're going to get hurt. If you do this or do this and you're not cautious or careful. So again, sometimes we've done things that we've got all got our stories that we can share with each other. Yeah, I wasn't too smart with this one, or this one happened to us, and it's all happened to us. We still have to be conscious and more careful about the way that we do things. You know, part of this, again, these laws of abundant living are given to our campers. You know, if anything that we try to be within camp is safety. We try to head things off at the pass. One thing that I tell our staff, I need you to have such a good rest, because the next morning when you get up with all these kids, I need you to be so focused, because now you're having 10 or 12 kids in your dorm, and anything can happen at any time. And I need you to be super focused on what's going on around you. As I even see that traveling on the highway, don't ever take that for granted. With all the accidents, and I'm frankly surprised that there's not more, that we need to be so careful, even as we drive. And I wondered for years, I finally think I figured it out. I would get home from doing a circuit, and I'd be exhausted. I'm going, why am I so tired? Because I haven't done anything. Besides talk, give a sermon, but nothing, the physical exertion wasn't out there. Why am I so tired? And I'm thinking on the way what I've done over the years, because I used to have a motorcycle for a while. If you've got a motorcycle, I don't recommend it, but if you do, because it's dangerous, and especially out in the roads that we have here, so taking more chances, but I had a motorcycle and commuted to college with that for a while. But I noticed whenever I was in traffic, I was either way ahead of the traffic or way behind it, because it might not be the cause of the motorcyclist, it's usually the cause of somebody else. So I would even know as I came up to somebody when I was coming up and I know what the blind spot is, I would give them a little honk, let them know that I'm here, or just try to stay behind or try to get ahead of them. Well, it's the same in a car. When I'm in a car and looking, I know who's behind me. I'm looking at my side view mirror. I know who's on that side, where they are. I know who's on that side, where they are. I'm looking up ahead because I don't like, you know, some people will go 60 miles an hour only to get to a red light and have to stop. I'm looking ahead, going, trying to time those lights, watching who's behind me, and that's been very helpful at times when a semi started pulling over, and it made my wife jump, and I just drove over right into the side lane. She goes, "How'd you do that so quickly?" I said, "I knew I was already safe, that I had that option." You do that for 3 hours and 4 hours, and you'll be tired at the end of the day too. I always ask and thank God for His safety and protection. But all of us drive and need to ask God for His safety and protection as we travel. So, again, doing the best that we can to take care of our bodies that way. Don't ever take that for granted either. Be safe. Avoid the bodily injury. The seventh one and last one is the positive mental attitude. This is what's so important to us as we face all the things that we do. I'm laughing because I don't know if you can go on a news program and be happy. Yeah, I try to turn on to watch some news to get some information. It's always bad news. It's always somebody pointing the finger and criticizing or something. There's just no good news. Seldom it's there. Controversies, drama. It's just perfect for God's people. That's just what we need, right? More drama. I don't think so. All of us cry out for peace. In Proverbs chapter, let's turn to a few scriptures here, because this is a big one when it comes to our health. This is, I think, is the one, number one, and stress, as you can research, is probably the number one killer, because it really affects people so much in their physical bodies. Proverbs chapter 15. Proverbs 15, let's begin here at verse 17. Here it says, better this, so this whole chapter actually is one of a, just something, let's actually go to verse 13. A merry heart makes a cheerful countenance, but by sorrow of the heart the spirit is broken. Chapter 17, verse 22. Chapter 17 and verse 22. A merry heart does good like medicine, but a broken spirit dries the bones. And all of us have fit within that category. I would rather any day be a happy person. Some of you know I joke a lot. I try to be happy. I've always tried to do it since I was very young. Now the more you get into society, I need some laughs. You know, don't you need something positive to watch, something to listen to? And you realize as you go through a day, you want to get updates, you want to see what's going on, you know, within the latest news, and it's just never good news. Do you ever listen to any positive good music? There's actually a couple, very few of them, but a couple good comedians that are out there. I still remember the one that was from Kentucky. He had mentioned at times he was so frustrated with women who were texting while they were driving. or doing their makeup or whatever, and he was mentioning that he was texting, and she slid over into his lane, and he had to jerk his wheel, and he goes, my hamburger and french fries and pop went all over my dashboard. So, no, eating and driving is probably not a good thing either. But the whole mindset on what we listen to and what we watch is so critical to be a part of our lives. Galatians chapter 5. We'll see more of this here as we get to the Feast of Pentecost. But God has given us something as we've come out. The picture is coming out of Egypt, putting away the sin in our lives, but then filling it with something good. And this is what we're talking about today. Again, I don't think I've given a health sermon since I've been here. But then again, if you look around and walk into any of the stores and just, I'm a watcher. Just stand around and look and go, I'm glad these guys aren't fighting the war for us. I mean, it's sad. We're in a sad state of disrepair. And then we've got to go back. Again, I'm just saying, look at our entire society. And I ask the question, I'm looking at our church as a whole. We've got God's health laws. We've got God's truth. And we're not the epitome of the example of good health ourselves either. But if each of us does something to change that around a little bit within your life, a little bit at a time, and you never give up, I think you'll find yourselves even in a better frame of mind. And maybe, hopefully, we won't get sick as much, because our bodies will be in better health. Galatians chapter 5, verse 22. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. There is a part that deals with what we're going through today, is self-control, what we're taking in to our bodies. There was an interview once that went out as far as what people were eating and what they're drinking. They said, would you give that up? He goes, no, I could never give that up. Maybe some are thinking that today. It's so difficult. You know, I've done some research. I think we may have it in our binder on high fructose corn syrup. Probably the worst thing that you could ever take into your body. Your body doesn't recognize it. It's horrible for you. And yet, that's a big part of what's in a lot of things. And by the way, since that's been known in research, they've changed the name on it. So they'll hide it now within some of the products. I know there's another name, and I can't think of it offhand. That's one thing. And there's another, by the way. If you eat certain breads, would you ever have a bowl of human hair? I doubt it, right? Sounds sickening. Well, many breads contain what's called L-cysteine. And that can be human hair. When I see L-cysteine, I go, I'd like to find something else. Again, you may go have a sandwich and you don't know. You do the best that you can do and finding and looking at the ingredients and trying and praying about it and asking God to help you. But there's more of these things that come up. I try to prove it, because again, this is tree of the knowledge of good and evil here. There's a lot of things that we've spoken about this, the things that you see in the binder, they might not be totally accurate for everybody here. You'll have to see how it applies to you, what you need to change within your life. There are food colorings, food additives, and it's an abundance of things to just overtake us besides the things that we're taking into our mind, the negatives that are out there. And sometimes it just gets so overwhelming. Thank God he gives us the Feast of Tabernacles. Well, get away. Let's get out of this mess. And even Feast of Pentecost now, where we can get together and enjoy each other's company as well. This is the positive things that we're looking at that are a fruit of God's Spirit that can change the health of our bodies. Matthew chapter 11, a few left here. Matthew chapter 11, there's a whole bulk, by the way, of maybe we can do even a seminar sometimes on the foods that the Bible has revealed. It talks about honey, land flowing with milk and honey. Matthew chapter 11, verse 28. Here's, hopefully, will be some satisfaction to your physical body as well. Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. There's promise. What is that? Rest for your souls. Peace of mind. And if you have peace of mind, can you not actually sleep a little better at night? Here's a promise from Christ himself. My yoke is easy and my burden is light. And it's a process. As we grow in faith toward God, as we grow in our relation, you'll find yourselves, times are tough. They may even get tougher. But we can find ourselves even dealing with it in a better situation. We talk a lot, so much about the kingdom of God, about how we just cannot wait for it to be here. That's a positive thing, I think, in our hearts. I tell some because of the criticalness where their body is right now, whatever age you may be, I can't see an 80-year-old getting to be like a 40-year-old anymore. Probably won't come, but you can become a little bit more healthy maybe at 80 years old. And I'll say, and by the way, we look forward to the time where God will give us our new body. But in the meantime, he wants to see us taking care of what we have now. Philippians, our last one here. Philippians chapter 4. Philippians 4. It's hard to understand the totality of Paul saying this all the time unless he had just a different view on things, because he was in difficult times where he had gone through. So he says in verse 4, he says, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say to you, rejoice. Do we have a rejoicing attitude throughout even the week? Let your gentleness be known to all, because the Lord is at hand. Be anxious for a few things. Nothing. So are we at that point yet? See, it's a personal thing, isn't it? That's between you and God. And certainly if we can pray for each other, sometimes we'll talk to each other, as the book of James says. It says, confess your faults, talk to each other. Say, you know something, I'd appreciate your prayers because I'm going through a real tough and stressful time right now, and need God's peace. And so we can pray for each other. Because again, it's all a very personal thing. Somebody's going through something at some point in their lives, and the difficulties that people are facing now are not always easy, but these are the words that God has given to us, that we can be healthier and we can be more at peace. And everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, a whole different mentality. Wouldn't it be great if the people of this country were a lot more thankful for the blessings instead of, I want more, I want more, I want more, it's mine, it's mine, it's mine. There's all finger pointing. That's totally the opposite. People aren't going to be healthy that way in the finger pointing attitude. Let your requests be made known to God. So he does know that we have requests. Please help me to change my life and the way that I take things into my body and what I eat, to make maybe progressive changes, or sometimes the whole shot. Change our life. It says, the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Jesus Christ. So there's an important mindset. That's why I believe that point 7, which is normally even in the 7 laws of success, that point 7, I believe, was contact with God, if you remember that. Save the best for last. That's incredibly important. So what I say in conclusion today, sometimes, again, we go through life, we are getting sick, but we're not thinking about why we're getting sick. We're not willing to make the changes that God wants us to make. He's given us brains. We've got to be able to look. We've got to be able to research. We've got all the research at your fingertips today. Yes, you've got to be careful about it. There's a lot of things that aren't correct that won't necessarily work for you. Now, give you one more example, because I know this was a woman that's passed away now, but when I first met her back in Knoxville, she was seeing a heart doctor. can't remember how old that she was. Probably, I believe that she was in her 80s. But the doctor told her, he goes, there's not much I can do. Your heart is just, it's sustaining, but there's nothing that we can do to fix it. So he goes, but I will tell you this. He goes, I've got something I'm going to suggest. You can try it if you want. It's not something that the medicine would put out. So he told her to take a certain amount of cod liver oil. And so that's what she did. She took the cod liver oil, and after so long, she came back and got another checkup. But he said, I'm not sure what you're doing, but whatever you're doing, keep it up. Now, I'm not saying that's the overall answer for you, but it's something that she had done. And again, people try different vitamins and different things that you'll take, something. There's sometimes supplements that are needed, but then what kind of supplements do I get? Sometimes you'll take these capsules, and then you'll see even sometimes, I got these turkey hot dogs. I've looked at turkey hot dogs, and it says, in pork casings. I'm going, no! Why would you make a beef hot dog or turkey hot dog and make a pork casing? Hello, anybody home over there? But you've got to look harder. And you can find things that are a little bit better for you. It's the progressive state. Isn't that where we're in spiritually? For all of us, it's been progressive. We had some good starts, but what I'm saying spiritually and physically, don't stop. My people are destroyed for not lack of knowledge. We don't have to be destroyed for lack of knowledge. We've got the spiritual, we've got physical out there, and plenty to draw from in asking God for wisdom to change our lives in both those ways so that we can live long and happy and healthy and productive lives. That's what God wants for his people. So the question is for you, will you do it? Will you turn over the new leaf?